Anybody know what page it's on? Because I don't know what page it's on. There we are. Hold on. It's right here. 1159, your Pew Bible. 1159. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17. 1159. Be very careful then how you live. Not as the unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The word of the Lord. Amen.
Well, I trust we all had a wonderful Easter last week. Just a wonderful time. And celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. Today we're actually going to begin a four-week series. And I'm going to kick it off. And I've been asked to speak on the subject of time. And that's what we're going to do today. This four-week series is actually going to be on stewardship. You know, folks, stewardship encompasses many areas in our lives. So we're going to be preaching on time, on money, and on our abilities. Or I put, to make it easier to remember, time, talent, and treasure. And how all of these actually affect our relationship with God. And at the end, we're going to actually provide an opportunity for you to attend Financial Peace University when this series is over. So this morning, I have a working definition of time, and this is a measure in which events are ordered from the past through the present and into the future. And I think there's another thing below that. It's also the measure of durations of events or intervals between them. So we're going to go from general to specific. You see, in Hebrew thought, time exists in two forms. There's this present evil age, but there's also the age to come. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 4 that God sent his Son at just the right time to deliver us out of this present evil age. But we still have to live in this present evil age, even after we're redeemed. And you know, it's interesting, when we talk about time, there's always in Scripture a direct link between time and redemption. And you know, Peter, in his first epistle, he actually talks about that. And he says, conduct yourselves in fear. Now, in the Bible, fear is not some negative thing. Fear is actually, the fear of the Lord is a reverential trust in God. And so Peter teaches us that we ought to conduct ourselves in fear during our time on this earth. So this morning, as we look at this, look at this scripture. It says, make the most of your time. Now, there's an interesting word there. The New American Standard, which I have here, says make the most. If you have your King James Bible, it literally reads redeem the time. And so this particular word is a buying opportunity is what it is. It's taken from the merchants who diligently observed the time for buying and selling and easily would part with their pleasure for gain. And so as we look at the next one, one of the things I want to ask us to do, when you think about time, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, that's known as the Olivet Discourse. And whenever you read Paul, He's always echoing Jesus on so many levels. And so that's actually a backdrop to this sermon. Jesus talked about Noah and the flood. And he said that Noah entered the ark, and they didn't understand until the flood came and took them away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. By the way, when the time comes when Jesus returns, he's going to come like a thief in the night, yet every eye's going to see him. How does that work? And the ones that got left behind are those, they were just marrying and giving in marriage. They were just living their lives. They weren't really doing anything evil per se. They just didn't understand the time. And so the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling believers of all times that we need to make the most of our time. And see that word time up there? There's an interesting, there's a couple of different Greek words for time. There's chronos and kairos. Now, those of you that come to my grief support, I always break this down, and I use this in supporting people in grief. But chronos is where we get our English word chronology. That's just the passing of time. But I want every single one of you right now to think about your life from the very time that you remembered life as a little toddler until the present. Is your life not just simply season after season after season after season? So the word up there that you see, time, is not chronos. Paul is not just talking about the entire span of your life. He's talking about kairos is the word that he employs. So what that is saying is that make the most of the season that you are in now, because the days are evil. Look at Sri Lanka. Every single week, there's something terrible happening. We're living in evil times. And so godliness is actually the result of a spiritual life. But at the heart of the spiritual life is the disciplined use of time. And when you think about Jesus and everything he taught us in the Gospels and about how we are endeavoring to love God and to love others, it really has a lot to do with time. For example, you know when he talked about the talents, how he gave five, one, two, and one. When you really look at that parable, next time you read it, it's pretty simple. It's called an argument from silence. In other words, one of the things Jesus was telling each one of those guys were this: what did you do with your time? You all had the same amount of time. Look at this, 365 days, 8,660 hours, 525,600 minutes, 31,536 seconds. Now, you think I'm right there? Anyways, time is fleeting, folks. And once it's gone, once your moment is gone, it's gone forever. You can't take it back. Whatever is done is done. Now is the time. By the way, I have time as the fourth dimension. You know what's interesting? Longitude and latitude. They make up the two-dimensional coordinate system on Earth. So if I told you to go to 42 longitude and minus 70 latitude, that would put you just off the coast here in Gloucester. Just off the coast. But you wouldn't know if I'm 2,000 feet above sea level skydiving or 500 feet below sea level with the lobsters, right? Or just 0 feet above sea level in a boat. And this is an important distinction, because that would be the third dimension, not just front to back or side to side, but up and down. Well, let's say you wanted to be picked up at the Grand Canyon and Marty McFly was coming by in his DeLorean to pick you up, you wouldn't know if he was picking you up 1,000 years from now or back when Washington crossed the Delaware 243 years ago. You can do the math. But see that, you can't just tell him I'm going to be at this longitude and this latitude at this height. You have to give him the third dimension plus one, the fourth dimension, and that's time for him to find you. Now, by the way, as an example, let's say if I found an ant and put the ant on this piece of paper, how long do you think it would take to get it from one side to the other? Probably like 20 seconds, right? But if I were to bend this paper, it would take about 2 seconds for this ant to wrap around one side and down to the other. So this would be warping space, but it would also be changing the amount of time to walk around. And you know what, folks? I'm endeavoring in my life to bend the paper. Think about your schedule and what are you doing with your time? Join me today as we begin this series to bend the paper. Time is an interesting thing. You know, I think it was Einstein was on the train and he looked at the tower, the clock. As the train was moving, the time stayed the same. And if a train were traveling and there were two bolts of lightning that hit, you'd see one before the other, and it wouldn't be the same as what one other saw. Time is amazing. When I got thrown from my bike last August on 128, 60 mile an hour, landed on my head. When I got thrown from that bike, everything went into slow motion. Who here know what I'm talking about? You ever been in a bad accident? You know how everything just slows down? Time is an amazing phenomenon. In my case, I'm thinking, I wasn't even afraid. I said, I must have done a million dive rolls. I'm laying out for a dive roll. But I never did it 60 mile an hour over the pavement. So while I'm waiting, the pavement hit because I thought I was still up there, but I misjudged the time. Let's not misjudge the time. See, the universe is made up of these three dimensions without considering time in which all matter exists. And let's go to the next slide, please. What Paul talks about the love of Christ, that we may comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking about this. And so, verse 15, I'm going to read it again if you look. Therefore, be careful how you walk. And look what I have in red there. Walking and being wise and foolish, they're juxtaposed. They're contrasted with one another. And so Paul is looking at this panoramic view of time. And when you think about it, when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he was in a Roman prison. That was the season of his life. And if you look at Ephesians, you have to go back to Acts 18. He went up there, he met Priscilla and Aquila. This was just one season of life. But he's talking, be careful how you walk. Now, not just physically walk. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So walking is to be careful how you live. And look what the message says in that. Watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. And God wants us to walk in the fullness. In fact, in this same chapter, in verse 13, he talks about the fullness of Christ. In verse 18, he's saying to be filled with the Spirit and we're to watch where we go. So I have three rhetorical questions. That was a long introduction, wasn't it? Well, I'm introducing a series, right? Three rhetorical questions. Here's the first one. Are you aware of the season of your life? Are you aware of the season of your life? And the verse is underneath that. Making the most of your, what? Time. Because the days are evil. And so Paul was referring to time. And if we get on to the next slide, Jesus masterfully uses both chronos and kairos. He's talking about just the general passing of time, but he also is talking about the season of time. And the apostles missed it, just like everyone misses it. Israel missed it. The Old Testament has a picture of their Messiah. Picture them as two mountains. One is a lion and another as a lamb. They were waiting for this lion of the tribe of Judah to come. But when he came as a lamb, meek and lowly. And they totally missed their Messiah. In the Messiah's own followers, the 12 who were with him, God in human form, after he rose from the dead, they said, is it going to happen now? Are you going to set up your earthly kingdom now? Jesus basically says, it's not for you to know the times, that's chronos, or the seasons, kairos. That's which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So by the way, on an aside, if anyone tells you that they know the hour when Christ is returning, that's a false prophet. Do not listen to that person. We don't know. And that's what I love about the Nazarene denomination. There's no pre-mill, pre-trib, amillennial, you know, the three. They don't try to figure it out. It creates division. And you know the best way is we should live every day as though Jesus died yesterday, rose today, and is coming tomorrow. Amen. If you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow, what changes would you make in your life? That's what this is about. And it begins with our time. Remember the four non-negotiables? Number one, you're a witness. Whether you realize it or not, what are you a witness to? For good or ill, you're a witness. We all are. Secondly, we're to walk in unity with one another. Thirdly, we're to be generous. And fourthly, we're to be people of prayer. What fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ ought to be. But look at the next slide on time. In the same book, in Ephesians, Paul says, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times. You think he's using chronos or kairos there? He's talking about kairos, the seasons. All these seasons are going to be summed up in all things in heaven and on earth, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Kyrios, Lord of all heaven and earth. Even it's like people that say that don't believe in the law of gravity. Well, it doesn't change the fact that if they step off a ledge, they're not going down. So just because someone doesn't believe that their knee will bow and that their tongue will confess, that does not change the fact that it will. So let us be careful. Look at the next slide here. Verse 15. Be careful how you walk. Now again, that word careful is very interesting. If you have the King James, it says to walk circumspectly. It means it has to do with seeing. So to understand Hebrew thought, there's always a connection between seeing and light and understanding about receiving the light through the eye gate and then understanding that revelation, and then the outcome of that is the behavior and the lifestyle will be consistent with that revelation. Be careful how you step. Be careful how you walk. When I have to get up every single night, though the rest of you middle-aged folks know exactly why, it's always at 3 o'clock. You know, I get up at 4, you know, and it's always, And I have a 15-year-old cat named Max who instantly thinks that I'm going to get him breakfast, and he's all over me. But what I got to watch, if I don't watch it that hour, I could walk into the cat stand that he has. I could walk into this. I could trip over that. You got to be very. You have to have full attention, and that's kind of like that's kind of comical. But that actually serves as a metaphor as to how we should be living our lives. Are we aware of the time in which we live? Let us never be deceived into thinking, oh, I have more time. Right. Ask our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka that they have more time. But anyways, if you go back to the very beginning, there's a primeval light. Do you ever notice in Genesis 1, at the very beginning of time, that God said, let there be light, and then there was light. But it wasn't till about 10 verses later that God created the sun. So there was this light in the Midrash, which is the writings of these Hebrew scholars of interpreting the Torah, you know, the first five books of the Bible. They say that there's this divine light is greater than the light that emanates from the sun and from the stars. And that concealed in the Torah, the spiritual eye can behold the presence of this radiance, but only by means of an inner eye given by Ruach Em Kadesh, the spirit of holiness. We serve a holy God, and he wants us to be cognizant of how we spend our time. We're accountable for it. And Paul teaches to live morally is to live wisely. Okay, so number one, are you aware of the season of your life? Here's the second rhetorical question I have for each of us. Secondly, are you aware of the story of your life? You know, the Bible is a record of history, and history is his story. And that, think about your own life when you came to Christ. You found this new life that you never knew existed. How many here know what I'm talking about? Suddenly the sky's bluer, the trees are greener, the air is fresh, everything becomes new, and you're seeing this. But in reality, you're just stepping into the flow of where God's been from all eternity. Look what Paul writes in the beginning of the book. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You know, Ephesians is the first book in the Bible. What are you talking about? Well, Genesis talks about the creative act of God in creation, but Ephesians reveals the mind of God before creation. For example, Jeremiah 1:5, before you were born, God says, I knew you. Psalm 139 says, God says, I knit you together in your mother's womb when you were in utero. I've loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah says. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Jesus, in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, looks at his disciples and he says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And when you come into this revelation knowledge of just how much you're eternally loved and accepted by a loving Father, it should impact how you spend your time. And your life is a story. Let's go to the next slide, please. God's story. Look what Paul writes. To be specific, that the Gentiles are the fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's powerful. We see that this Ephesians story is just simply part of God's story. And what Paul writes is that this is the mystery that's revealed. When he writes to the Colossians, he says, this mystery which was hidden and it was kept for ages and generations is now being made known. And this mystery revealed is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. How you spending your time? Three vines we see through Scripture. Israel, Isaiah talks about this, that they were the metaphor of a vineyard that God watered and God provided and gave them all the circumstance and put them in the condition where they were going to blossom, but they didn't yield anything. They failed. And then Jesus is the true vine, and we are now grafted in. And as we look to the next slide, folks, let's make the most of our time, because the days are evil. That's what I came here to say, and that's why I'm actually being intentional about repeating this. What are you doing with your time? Whatever it is, if there's some changes that you can be made, what better day to start than today to make it right? That's the beautiful thing about serving Christ. You know, we live in a continual state of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. You know, the present is nothing other than reaping the decisions that we made in the past. And I go back a few years ago, the lowest points of my life before I moved back up to Mass down in Pennsylvania. I had some low times, and I, even after I recommitted my life to Christ in 2013, I still wasn't out of it yet, because I was still reaping the decisions of the past. I was still reaping the consequences of not spending my time the way God would want me to spend my time. But the good news is that can change. And that the future, your future, can be spent reaping the good of the positive and good decisions you're making in the present. And that's the beautiful thing about serving Jesus, that you're never stagnant. You're either moving forward or you're moving back. And in order to move forward, we have to be good stewards of our time, which is one aspect. And I think it's fitting that out of these time, money, and talent, it's only fitting that we begin with time. Because how we spend our time is a... I'll never forget when I competed in gymnastics, we had a sign on the wall. It said, if you feel like taking today off, somewhere in the world, there's another gymnast who's not. And he's going to beat you. Incentive, whatever incentive. Number one, are you aware of the season of your life? Secondly, are you aware of the story of your life? What are people seeing in you? What are people reading in you? And the third and final rhetorical question is, what will be the sequel of your life? Only you can answer that. Look at verse 17. The Apostle Paul says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And when you see the flow of that argument, when breaking down the context of that passage in Ephesians, the point that the Apostle Paul is actually making, what he's saying is, what are you becoming? So in this passage, Paul is talking about becoming wise or becoming foolish. And so my question to you and myself is this: what are you becoming? What am I becoming? What type of people are we becoming? How you spend your time is going to reveal it. Let us not be deceived into thinking we always have more time. But we should know and understand God's will through His Word. See, the will of God is always found in the Word of God. God never has, does not, nor ever will speak to us apart from His Word. And today, God is speaking to us through His Word, and He's lovingly, in a way that only He can do, is nudging us to be good stewards of our time. Final slide here. Again, Paul is always echoing Jesus, who said, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. He says that there are two men walking in the field. One will be taken and another one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill working. One will be taken and another one left. The context of that passage is not one Christian is going to be removed, but the context of those passages is that one of them is going to be taken for judgment. See, for all of us, it says in Hebrews, It is appointed once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we as believers know that Jesus, he faced the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God for your sin and for my sin. He died in our place. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. So how should we be spending our time? Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, we just come to you this hour. And we know, Lord, that this is the hour, this is the time, as Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthians. Now is the time. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Lord, would you open that up to us? And everyone who hears these words, Lord, we just ask if there's anything that needs to be changed in how we spend our time. Holy Spirit, that you would help us, oh God, to redeem the time. Help us to bend the paper and no longer waste the time that you've been given us. Lord, take our lives and let it be consecrated to you. We ask, Lord, that you would take our moments, that you would take our days and let them be just a sweet aroma of fragrance unto you. Lord, our lives, our marriages, our families, our kids, our jobs. Lord, let us surrender everything to you. Lord, we ask that we be good stewards of our time and of our money and of the abilities you've given to us, that we will be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen and amen.